This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and guess what we talk about here? We talk about fishing, and we talk about hunting, and we talk about the great outdoors. Yes, we do. So, what have you heard about the great outdoors in the news this week? Well, we'll fill you in, but we'd like to leave the phone lines open here for the first little bit and ask if anybody has any calls they'd like to make here at 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, before I launch into our topic of the day that may or may not be interesting. So we'd love to hear from you. That's 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. I haven't had my first slurp of coffee yet, so we'll be doing that as is our fashion. But we're more than glad to take your call here today. So, all right. Let's see. Caller just asked where Sean and Frank are. Okay. Sean and Frank. Ain't here. It's me today. I'm filling in for Sean and Frank on the Saturday rotation here from 5 to 7 every Saturday. And we understand the confusion because they are two popular guys. So do we need to rewind there, Noah, to start the show again, or are we good? We're fine? Okay. All right. That's probably about the way it's going to go today. So, any other callers want to call in with a question about fishing or hunting or the great outdoors or something that happened to them during the week? Now that we've established that Sean and Frank ain't here. You got tickled by that, didn't you? Well, you know, she might have, maybe she hasn't adjusted from daylight savings time yet or something. I don't know. Summer solstice, something, who knows, something happened. So we're giving you an opportunity before I launch into this this campaign here this morning to make your calls and let us know what's on your mind. Anyway, while you're doing that, we're going to, there we go, there's Bill. There's somebody named Bill calling in. That's good. Yeah, I really want to get a couple of calls out of the way before, not out of the way, but there's Bill in Manchester. Let's see what Bill has to say. Morning, Bill. How are you?
Morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm all right. What's up?
I was just heading home from work. Just wanted to give you a little update. We've helped Mr. Hindman out, put a few more leg bands on our local resident Canada geese.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. They're molting right now, right? Flightless.
Yeah, the majority of them were. We did have some that had not molted yet, which kind of surprised us, and we lost a few on one of our captures.
Right. Tell the folks about how you do that this time of the year.
Generally, at this time of year, they're molting, which means that they're losing their flight feathers.
Primary flight feathers, right.
So they cannot fly. They have a tendency at that time of year to bunch up together. So we'll go to certain areas where the birds are at, and it usually involves some body of water. The biologist brings some kayaks with them, and Larry Hyman, who's the head waterfowl biologist for the state, will come up with a plan of where to capture at. And with the assistance of quite a few people, we push them into an area, and then we use their 4x8 panels with a snow fencing on them.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry will set them out into a circular area, and we push the birds up in that area there, and then walk the panels together and catch them in basically a makeshift pen.
Yeah, kind of a corral type of thing, but they're mobile,
yep.
So you guys all get on different sides and push them all together.
Yep.
Will you be continuing that this week, or is that done in that particular area?
We're done in that area. The central region was done on Wednesday.
Right.
And I think there was in excess of 250 that were banded
mm-hmm.
altogether.
I gotcha. I think this is Bill Krim, ladies and gentlemen, with M&A Outfitters, and I've hunted with Bill, and we've actually been on hunts where we've taken a couple of those banded birds.
Yep.
And it
appeared that we had a very good hatch of birds this year. We had a lot of young. We banded some new areas, so.
I see that. I see that in my travels everywhere. There's a lot of young geese, or were a lot of young geese out there. They're almost indistinguishable right now from the adults. I mean, they're getting pretty good size, so.
Well, there's a variance. We had some that were in a couple weeks to a month or so.
Yeah.
3 weeks or so. Some very noticeable. None that were the typical yellow puffballs that we see.
Right.
After they're born.
Right.
But everything, they all appear to be in good health and ready for the season to come.
Right. Now this is the resident population of Canada.
Yeah, these are all residents. All residents of the great state of Maryland.
Coming up with more liberal bag limits and the early season, September.
And that's the time of year when we have our highest limits, eight per person per day.
Right.
Bill?
I'm glad you are the one that called today.
Yeah?
Yes, and I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
The topic of our day today is going to be cow nose rays, and in particular the controversy that has swelled up around the cow nose ray in the Chesapeake Bay in the last week. Have you heard about it?
Yes.
I think most people on the news have heard about it on the news. And what the news media does not do is to explore both sides of the issue. So I'm going to ask again the commercial watermen, the clammers, and anybody else who's in the shellfish business here in Maryland or the crab business to pay attention to what we're going to talk about here today on as far as cow nose rays. And it's almost the same. Stature, status as the resident Canada geese. People get all upset that you shoot their geese. People get all upset that people are out in the bay shooting cow nose rays with a bow and arrow. What people fail to realize is, although these are not invasive species, these are species that are present here in Maryland. Sometimes, like in the case of the cow nose ray, these fish migrate in and do what they do here and then go back out to sea. These resident geese live here year-round. In both instances, both species are incredibly destructive.
Absolutely.
Canada geese are the bane of the farmer because of what they do to the primarily the winter wheat crops. how they foul golf courses, how they foul lawns and public areas,
and kill fish in ponds
and
too.
Kill the fish in the ponds with the overabundance of excrement in the bottom, which robs the pond of oxygen. And there's just a lot of similarities there, Bill. And this was perfect timing today that you called.
Absolutely. So there is a big correlation with it. I know growing up, you know, I spent a lot of time fishing with Dad on the bay, and
sure,
we in those days back in the 70s, we didn't see huge numbers of cow nose rays out there, and the crabbing that we did, most of it was just dip netting crabs,
right?
You know, you walked in the grass beds,
right.
And if you were quick enough with a crab net, you could, you know, catch your crabs that way. And
right.
I think
soft crabbing the same way.
Yeah, yeah, and I think some of the population now is on the rise, and if you don't keep it in check, because I don't believe that there's any predators to the cow nose ray, except for some kind of shark that might be in the bay.
Yeah, it would be a bull shark if they even can catch him and eat him. So,
right. So, there is a big correlation between it. I mean, the geese, there's very few predators for the local, you know, resident Canada goose.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, you have your typical predators, your hawks and your owls and your foxes and your coyotes and things like that, but they can't take enough of them. They can't certainly take down an adult goose. I mean, they can.
Yeah, mature Canada goose doesn't have a whole lot of predators, and
right.
if his flight feathers are working, then there's not a whole lot that's going to get a hold of them.
Right.
The young do have predation because they're small.
Right.
But usually, mom and dad take care of any.
Of course.
Anything that tries to get after them.
No question.
So, yeah, there definitely is a correlation between the two.
Exactly.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
Without a doubt.
Indeed. So, Bill, I appreciate that. Be safe on your way home from work today. And
yep.
Keep listening, because we're going to talk about those rays here probably for most of the show. So,
Very good, Alan.
We've got some great guests coming in from time to time, and we'll be talking with them about the cow nose rays, the recreational harvest of cow nose rays, and what the cow nose ray means to the Chesapeake Bay. And
I've seen the pictures myself with the all the little crabs that are inside of them. That's what they're eating.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. Brother Bill, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Talk to you
Have
soon.
Have a good day, Alan.
You
Take
too,
care.
Buddy. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
There goes Bill. I think we will take our first break right here, and we'll talk about a couple of different things. I want to tell you that Papa John's Farm is back as a sponsor, for as usual, for their summer produce. And all I want to say is this: get your corn on the cob, get your corn, your tomatoes, and your watermelons for the 4th at Papa John's Farm. That could end the commercial right there, other than tell you where they're located. But summer is the time for picnics and family get-togethers and camping trips, and summer is corn on the cob. There's some steamed crabs in there from time to time and fresh tomato sandwiches. Summer is cold, juicy watermelon. I've been eating melons for 2 weeks. Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm, they like to steam their crabs with fresh corn on the cob right out of their own field for a great family dinner. Hot corn, crabs, crab spice. If you enjoy your time outdoors with great-tasting food, you head to Schillinger Papa John's Farm in Severn. Why? Well, at their enormous produce barn, their own tasty super sweet corn, their homegrown tomatoes are ready, their squash and zucchini, peppers and onions, green beans and cucumbers, and much, much more, mouth-watering cantaloupes, and sweet, sweet watermelons, too. Papa John's Farm, located just off I-97 at Exit 12. That's 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. That phone number, 410-969-8810, 969-8810. Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6. Phone number again, 410-969-8810. Visit Schillinger Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you.
The National Weather Service has a flash flood watch in effect through late tonight. An approaching low pressure system may dump 1 to 3 inches of rain across the area by late tonight. Showers and storms will move through from this morning into the afternoon. Some of the thunderstorms may produce some damaging winds. Expect a high near 73 and showers and some more strong storms tonight with a low of 63. As low pressure exits tomorrow, we'll start to dry out. There'll be breaks in the clouds with a high near 76. Monday, some sunshine with a high in the low 80s. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, NBS Seafood, 1223 Dorsey Road. You know I mentioned corn and crabs? Well, NBS is right down the street from Papa John's, so you can get your crabs, your live crabs. You can steam them up. Papa John's corn on the cob. Oh, man, it's all together right there. 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie, right next to Jim Donny RV, stocked with live crabs. Some from Louisiana, some from Maryland. They've got andouille sausage and gator tail meat. That's right, and they carry fresh-caught white perch. They've got jumbo Gulf shrimp and scallop and fresh crab meat and a variety of other seafood items. They even have the spice to make your seafood taste great. Do you know that if you want steak and seafood, surf and turf, so to speak, did you know NBS has black Angus New York strip steaks for your grill? Stop by and see NBS Seafood. And, by the way, they shed their own soft crabs. I mentioned this last week. They have their own shedding tanks. They mix their own water. They filter it. And I will tell you, these are the best tasting soft crabs you'll find. NBS Seafood, call 410-271-3202. Thursday, Friday, Mondays, 2 to 7, Saturday, 10 to 7, Sunday, noon to 5. Visa, MasterCard, EBT, and even cash is legal tender right there at NBS Seafood. Phone number again, 410-271-3202 for NBS. That stands for No Bull Stuff Seafood. This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Spray on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, head to Fishbone Bones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle, Pasadena.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Ahoy, Captain Seaweed here. Just a reminder, when you have a Captain Seaweed soft crab, you're having a Republican soft crab. You'll find Captain Seaweed soft crabs at Joey's of Pikesville and King Liquor of Rosedale.
Listen Sundays at 9 a.m. for Radio Mass of Baltimore, the live liturgy of the Sunday Mass from St. Ignatius Church in downtown Baltimore, and again at 6 p.m. for a rebroadcast. Following the Mass, stay tuned for a message from the Archdiocese of Baltimore on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Don't let your babies grow up to be cowards. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks.
Make 'em be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love. Cowboys ain't easy to love and they're harder to hold. And they'd rather give you a song than diamonds and gold. Long star belt buckles and old faded Levi's, and each night begins a new day. And if you don't understand him and he don't die young, you'll probably just ride away.
All right, a little Willie there for you this morning. I've been listening to Willie all the way up and down the highway this week, delivering Maryland Hunting Quarterlies. And here is Tony Lahotsky. Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good. How are you, Alan?
Good, good. You are now on the air. Tony, tell us a little bit about Silver Dog Outdoors.
We're a company that started a few years back. We're a fully guided, or a full-service guide service, I should say.
Okay.
We do both hunting and fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, our main priority is bow fishing for rays out in the bay.
Okay. As many of our listeners have seen on the news this week, there was a bow fishing tournament for cow-nose rays out of southern Maryland on the Patuxent River the weekend of the 14th. And two animal rights organizations, rabid animal rights organizations, one called SHARC, which is a group called Showing Animals Respect and Kindness, and the other one is known as Fish Feel, apparently filmed these guys shooting cow-nose rays and were appalled at the handling of the rays. As most animal activist groups do, they put out an emotional plea for the to save the rays, and they then went after the sponsors of this tournament, one a local sporting goods store, another a national organization, and they've got a lot of play on the news media. However, what the news media failed to do was to find out the other side of the equation. That's why you're here today, Tony. Tell us the other side of the equation a little bit. First of all, let's talk about the process.
Okay.
If I want to go bow hunting with you for cow-nose rays on Chesapeake Bay, I call you up and I say, Tony, this sounds exciting to me. It's a little off-season fun. What do I need to bring?
Basically, when you show up with us, the only thing you really need to bring, honestly, is sunblock and, you know, a few light drinks if you like, you know, like water or Coke. But
sure,
honestly, once we get out there, it's basically all up to you, you know, in handling of the bow and mm-hmm. placing a shot.
So you have the bows actually on board?
Yes.
And if I'm a compound bow shooter, something that I'm familiar with, like my release or my arm guard or something like that, you would like me to bring that as opposed to you trying to supply a release that may or may not fit the particular
Correct.
Bow hunter, right?
Correct.
Okay. So you get out on the boat. Everything's up to you guys. You pull out of the boat ramp, and what's next?
Basically, what we're looking for is some sort of splashing in the water, or, you know, if they're not mating and they're not on the surface, then we're kind of going into the areas that we know that they feed in. And when I say feed, a lot of times we'll catch them in shallow water going after soft crabs after a full moon, or, you know, over to shellfish beds. And a lot of times the watermen, too, if we can't find them, they'll direct us right to them just because, you know,
more eyes
firsthand of the devastation that's going on out there.
More eyes on the bay.
Correct.
And you have a working relationship with, I'm sure, some of the local crabbers that are more than glad to see you come out there and take away some of these rays.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So you locate a few rays. They're feeding, let's say they're feeding in the shallows. Let's say they're feeding on soft crabs, or cruising the grass beds, or cruising the oyster bars, cruising the clam beds. I'm sure you don't just speed up on them and slam the boat in, you know, in the neutral and drift over, and you know, it's kind of got to be kind of a stealthy approach, doesn't it?
For the most part, I mean, the boat that I have will be a 4-stroke engine, so it is very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
We do have to get to a point that we do slowly get up on them, because there is times where, you know, they're so quick that actually they can dive below the surface.
Sure.
We can't even get a shot.
Right.
And obviously, just like with any animal or any sport, you know, they get smarter with time as well. So.
Well, sure. Yeah, when the sign of a motor or approaching shadow or whatever it might be, if you've been fishing on the same group for, you know, days or so, they do tend to, you know, adapt to that. But let's say that now you've positioned the boat, you've got, how many rays do you typically see in a half day trip, I guess? I mean, you get out there 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, and you're out till noon. How many individual rays estimate do you see in a day's trip?
Estimate, we'll probably see about 100 a day.
Really?
Or more.
100 a day?
Yes.
Okay. So you see 100 rays, and now you slip up on the ray. You're in position for a shot, which is not, you know, you're not talking a 40 yard shot. You're talking, you know, 10 yards to try to get them as close to the boat or the boat as close to them as possible. Motor along beside them, I'm guessing, and try to get the shot on the ray. Correct.
Correct.
Okay. So the shooter has an arrow that is a fiberglass arrow that has a barbed broadhead on the front. It's not really broadhead. It's more of a point with kind of a wire through it. Is that right? Or a blade that is flexible.
Correct. It's if you kind of resembles a mechanical broadhead. So
okay. All right. That's easy enough to understand for bow hunters. So this is also attached to a line. Is there a jug or is there a spool? How does that work?
There is a spool on the bow. We don't use jugs. Some people do.
Okay.
But once the arrow is released, the barbs or the mechanical broadhead tips will actually release, and then that's what actually catches on the animal, so we can pull it back in with the string.
Yeah, so when you shoot that arrow and go through that ray, when that arrow exits the other side, those barbs expand and don't allow the arrow to back out, so you've got the ray hooked, so to speak. Just like
Correct. Like
a barb on a hook. Or
yes,
okay,
sir.
So the animal is then reeled in, just like any other fish.
For the most part, we have reels on the bows. However, the one thing we urge all of our guests is either myself or the mate will actually grab the line with a pair of gloves.
Right, hand over hand it rather than reel.
Correct, because the reels wouldn't be strong enough to bring them in. And honestly,
These
things have pulled us against the side of the boats or, you know, burned all four of our fingers with gloves on just when they start to reel out the string.
Sure. They're very powerful, no question about it. What's a typical size of one of these fish? I mean, how wide, how deep, how heavy poundage-wise do you estimate?
Poundage-wise, we've gotten them anywhere from 30 pounds up to easily 70 pounds, which is probably about the biggest we've ever gotten. And then width-wise, I'd say their wings are anywhere from probably about 32 to 36 inches across.
So it's a pretty good target. Is the idea typically to shoot these animals in the body and not the wings?
Yes, sir. We have had, you know, we actually urge the guests to shoot them dead mass, straight in the center. That way there's something to pull against, and you're not just harming the animal by chance that, you know, you hit them on the end of a wing and they run off.
Right. Yeah, I got that. So, you know, the idea is to make your shot count and dispatch the animal as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and I mean, the whole process, you know, with a good shot may take 5 minutes at the most.
Sure.
Once we have them in the boat.
Sure. All right. Now, one of the criticisms of the tournament that took place on the Patuxent a couple of weeks ago was that these guys were bringing these animals in, they were gaffing them, and then they were dispatching them with a hammer. My guess is that's probably about as humane as possible if you're going to harvest the animal.
Yeah, for the most part, the gaff does the trick immediately.
Right.
You know, especially if you pick them up by the fore part of the body. Or the
right.
We don't use a hammer. Not
Thank goodness.
That's,
yep.
that's not humane.
Right.
But it's just something. But, you know, once we get them in with the gaff, they're pretty much done.
Well, I will tell you that the cow-nose ray is the bane of charter captains and crabbers, commercial crabbers and clammers, I can tell you that. And you've been doing this for, did you say 5 years?
We've been taking people for 5 years, yes.
Okay. How long have you personally been bow fishing for rays?
I'd probably say 20 or more.
All right. In those 20 years, have you seen an increase in the population?
Immensely. I mean, within the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years. I mean, I'm not sure number-wise, but we used to go to see maybe 5-6 at a time, and I mean, there's times now we'll see a couple hundred in a group.
Right. I got that. Well, you know, there is there's the Maryland Bowhunters Society is involved in this, and I believe Lou Compton, the president of the Bowhunters Society, Lou is also the chairman of the Wildlife Advisory Committee. He's been actively involved in communicating with both fisheries and wildlife, and he's gotten some answers back from the folks at Fisheries Service, and I've also gotten some answers. And one of the recommendations that Dave Goshorn, if I'm saying that right, Dave is the Assistant Secretary of Aquatic Resources, got back to Lou with was a website from NOAA, and it talks about the effect that the cow-nose rays are having on the Chesapeake Bay. There have been cow-nose rays in the Chesapeake since before Captain John Smith landed on the bay's shores, but recently they've gotten some bad press. Is it warranted, is the question. Some people think that the population of cow-nose rays is in the Chesapeake Bay is growing, and they're concerned that these rays, which eat shellfish, may hurt oyster restoration and shellfish aquaculture efforts. But are numbers of cow-nose rays actually growing, and are they having a significant effect on restoration and aquaculture? If they are, what, if anything, should we do about it? Now, it says that scientists around the bay are doing research to help answer these questions, and that researchers found that cow-nose ray populations are slow-growing because they reproduce at low levels. Female rays don't generally have offspring until they're 8 or 9 years old, only have one pup at a time. This is not what the folks at Fish Feel and Shark were saying the other day, but I'll let that be what it is. Some people have suggested that a commercial fishery for cow-nose rays should be started so that people can eat this shellfish predator instead of eating oysters. But because cow-nose ray populations grow slowly, we need to make decisions very carefully. Effects from these decisions will last a long time. If the population is reduced too much, it would take a long time to recover. Research shows that cow-nose rays prefer to eat thin-valved shellfish like soft-shell and razor clams, but will also eat oysters and hard clams. But they aren't able to produce the force needed to crush and eat large oysters. So if restoration efforts in aquacultures can protect smaller oysters, those oysters could eventually grow to be too big for cow-nose rays to eat. And it goes on up from there. And we'll give that website if anybody wants to email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. We'll be more than glad to give you that link. It goes on from there. But as far as the DNR Fisheries Service is concerned, there's no real management plan in place. And none has been actually called for until now. Correct?
Correct.
There's no real regulations on the harvest of cow-nose rays with bow and arrow. Correct?
In Maryland, there is no laws, limits, right. regulations, nothing.
Right. Now, let me ask this question, Tony. Let's say you go out and you see 100 rays per day.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that 100, how many potential shot opportunities do you have?
We're probably looking at maybe 20 to 30.
20 to 30. So you take 20 to 30 shots.
Mm-hmm.
How many misses do you have out of the 20 to 30 shots?
Probably 5 to 10.
5 to 10 misses. So 2 out of 3 shots are successful. So you hit 20 rays in a day. Let's say all those 20 hits, those rays are harvested. Let's make it easier. Let's say you take 15 rays per day, just on average. Is that a good number or is that not a good number?
That's about an average number.
Okay, so we're looking at taking 15 rays out of the population of probably hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands anyway.
Yes.
By bow fishing, and that can go on. Let's say you have an active party for, I don't know, how many parties do you run? 50, 60 a year?
We're very modest. We'll run maybe 20 to 30 a year.
20 to 30. So that's 450 rays if everybody shoots well and you have a terrific day and the weather doesn't get in the way and that type of thing. So let's say you as your guide service takes 500 rays a year out of the Chesapeake Bay.
Correct.
Okay. Let's just ballpark that.
Sure.
Okay. When you have, let's say, two bow hunters on the boat and you bring in 15 rays, 10 rays, whatever it might be, if I go with you, I'm only going to want one to take home. And, you know, do you have a way to make sure that the hunter, the shooter, will take rays home with him to eat? And if not, what alternative does he have?
Basically, the alternative, especially if they're crabbers, they've been known to be used as bait.
So you'll donate the ray to the crabbers, and they will take them and turn them into bait for their crab pots.
Correct, because the one thing we definitely don't want to have to happen is, you know, one, get a bad name, or two, for any, you know, whether it's a ray or anything that we guide for, is something just to be wasted or dumped.
Of course.
So there's always got to be an outlet,
of course,
sort of, you know, used for them,
right? But let's say your angler says, are these good to eat? What's your answer?
Of course they are. I mean, you just simply putting it in the frying pan,
right?
Pan searing it like you would tuna.
Yeah.
You know, with a little bit of butter and garlic.
Yeah.
Is a simple form, and a lot of people really like it, and they're probably easily could be made made into a scallop, so to speak.
Right. I've heard of that, actually. I've heard of people using like a cookie cutter or some specialized tool, or just cut them into squares and eat them like scallops.
Correct.
Bread them, deep fry them, and away you go. Yeah.
So I think, you know, public-wise, there's not a lot out there or publicity or people showing them that, hey, look, these are actually edible.
Sure.
And
well, I know that Virginia tried, Virginia and a couple other states, I believe, tried to develop a market for them, a taste for them, and published recipes. And I think you have somebody there on the shore to be able to provide some recipes for them.
Yeah, we actually have a professional barbecue chef.
Okay.
Which is Barbecue and Beyond, which is Eric Fraze.
Oh, I know Eric, sure.
He actually has a bunch of recipes, and he noted to me the other day, too, and I didn't know this. There is actually a really high-end restaurant in D.C. Called Mon Ami, I believe.
Okay.
That one of their specialties is pan-seared ray.
Really?
On the menu. And I do know a few of the watermen around here actually will sell them to some of the Japanese restaurants.
Okay.
So there is...
There's a market.
There is a market.
That just needs to be developed.
Correct.
I got it. Tony, and, I'm going to ask you to hang on there for a minute. We have to take a commercial break, and I'll get back with you. I think Lou Compton is going to be calling us here shortly. And Lou is the president of Maryland Bowhunters Society. Maybe you guys, two guys can have a little conversation with me there.
Okay.
You have a party today, by the way?
This afternoon I do.
Good. All right. Hold on there a minute. The Maryland Fishing Challenge is a free year-round tournament hosted by Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fishery Service for everyone who's a recreational fisherman in Maryland. Eligible fish include all game fish from the Atlantic Ocean to the Chesapeake and all the way out to, you know, Deep Creek Lake and points beyond, including more than 67 species in five categories. The freshwater or non-tidal, the Chesapeake Bay or tidal, the Atlantic Coast, and there's even a catch and release and invasive species. There's a youth division connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. You catch a fish of a notable specified size, you receive your official angler award certificate and an invitation to the grand finale in September in September, where you could win a Tracker Marine boat package, an exotic fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network, Costa gear, tackle packages from Bass Pro Shops, and Bill's Outdoor Center, collectible Under Armour heat gear t-shirts, and even a share of $25,000 in cash. If the fish are biting right now, all across the state, on the bay, offshore, all the freshwater rivers and ponds, you know what? It's time to go fishing, not the time to stay indoors. So go fish. The official rules are online at dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Hey, folks, Clyde Sports Shop. I'll tell you what, if you need any kind of fishing or crabbing gear, Clyde's has got it. They're loaded up with crab traps of all different sizes and styles and anything you need for crabbing, bait, and all the lines, trot lines, and my gosh, if you need steamer, they've got steamers. If you need crab seasoning, they've got that too. Don't forget, they've got a full complement of fishing supplies as well. Rods, reels, line, all the lures you need for any type of fishing, from panfish to rockfish. A full line of live bait and crab bait too, and frozen bait, and all the terminal tackle. They'll even help you rig up. They'll teach you how to rig up, and they have a 24-hour fishing hotline. That number for the hotline is 410-247-3474. The easy way to remember it is 247-FISH. That's the fishing hotline, 24 hours a day. Clyde's Sports Shop is open 7 days a week. They honor all major credit cards, and they would like to see you. Stop by and check out the fishing and crabbing department at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. The website, clydesports.com. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. New location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Ahoy, Captain Seaweed here. Just a reminder, when you have a Captain Seaweed soft crab, you're having a Republican soft crab. You'll find Captain Seaweed soft crabs at Joey's of Pikesville and King Liquor of Rosedale.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Okay, folks, Lou Compton, the president of the Maryland Bowhunter Society and chairman of the Wildlife Advisory Commission, has joined us. And, Lou, you're on with Tony Lahotsky of Silver Dog Outdoors.
Yeah, good morning, Tony. How you doing, my friend? Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Lou. Tony, with us? Tony, are you with us?
Yes, I'm
okay,
here.
Great. You're very soft-spoken this morning, Tony.
Gotcha.
You don't want to wake the kids and family up, I'm guessing. So, Lou, you've become involved in this this controversy that the folks from this organization called Shark. By the way, folks, it's a rabid anti-hunting organization, just so you know, and this organization called Fish Feel, which is an anti-everything vegan organization who hates commercial fishermen, recreational fishermen, and anybody who touches a fish anywhere on the planet. Am I right, Lou?
You're absolutely correct, Alan.
Yep. I don't know, Tony, if you had a chance to look at these organizations or not, but you get an instant feel that that they are not friendly to anybody who likes to eat.
I haven't really been able to look up anything presently.
Yeah, well,
I'm so busy.
Lou, I don't know if you've been listening, but Tony runs a commercial bow fishing service. They take about, what did you say, 50 charters a year, something like that?
Probably about 30 or so.
Oh, 30 charters a year. And it was telling us about that, you know, they're very judicious with what they do with the rays. They either make sure that folks take them home and they give them recipes to try, or that they make sure that some of the rays wind up back with the commercial crabbers who freeze them and salt them and use them for baiting. I don't know if they use them on trot lines or in their pots, but it's certainly kind of turned about as fair play. So Lou, tell us a little bit about your efforts on this thing.
Well, right now at this point, Alan, most of my efforts have been over the last few days just doing research on the species itself and talking folks at the DNR Fisheries Service. Been going back and forth and got some information from the Assistant Secretary, David Groshen.
Right.
And just been gathering information and kind of sharing that with along with a bunch of guys from the Maryland Bowhunter Society and the traditional bowhunters of Maryland that I know that bowfish and are specifically interested in this effort right here.
Right. Well, you know, it is a kind of a crossover between hunting and fishing, as is all bow fishing. And I know that the Department of Natural Resources actually encourages bow fishing for such impactful, non-native invasive species like the snakehead. But our first caller this morning really kind of set this whole thing up, which was Bill Krim from M&A Outfitters. Bill has a goose hunting business. He was talking about tagging some of these resident geese that were, that are in the molt season right now. And we talked, and it struck me that there was such a similarity between the resident geese, who is also a native species, so to speak, at least endemic in the environment, and the destruction that they do, and the high bag limits on them, and it kind of dovetailed with the cow nose ray. What have you found out about the destructive nature of cow nose rays, Lou? I know Tony mentioned that they haunt the shellfish beds and the grasses and eat a lot of soft crabs. Go ahead.
Well, Alan, what I found out is that there's perception that the population of the cow nose rays in the Chesapeake Bay has risen dramatically over the last couple decades, and they have such a voracious appetite for shellfish, crabs, and small bottom feeding fish that they're actually starting to have an impact as far as the aquaculture growers and commercial watermen are concerned. You know, it's commonplace to hear tales of guys who are trotlining using soft shell clams as bait for them to be run their lines, and all of a sudden start hitting empty baits where the cow nose rays have moved in and actually eating the baits right off their darn trot lines. And shellfish beds, any aquafish growers down in Virginia have their own lease beds, having a hard time keeping the rays off of them, because the rays really do prefer the younger oysters.
Oh, they eat the spat like crazy. I was dealing with Hooper's Island aquaculture company that the brand is Chesapeake Gold Oysters, and they've come up with some spectacular oyster crop down there, and they were talking about how the rays eat the spat, how they eat the small oysters. You know, they'll just devastate an oyster bed, and because the younger oysters are coming up, that's the ones they can eat and grind up pretty quickly. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
So, and I'll tell you, if anybody's ever been to a crab house or a crab, a crabber's place, which I've been, when they're trying to mend their trot line for the next day, they'll look at you and I'll say, "What are you doing?" "Oh, we're putting these razor clams in this mesh bag and getting our trot line ready for tomorrow." And they said, "You know, we pull up our trot line, and there's no bags on it. There's no, or they'll crush the oyster, the razor clams in the mesh bag, and as the pieces fall out, they just suck them up like a vacuum cleaner, and we're pulling up bags with no bait in them. It's not the crabs that are eating them. The rays are following our trot lines and crushing these crabs or these clams as we put them in there and put them overboard. So they are the bane to the commercial fishermen here in Maryland for sure. And Tony, I mean, you know, you're doing your part. You're providing a service, some recreational harvest. You're certainly not wasting the resource, and I look forward, quite frankly, to going out with you. And Lou, you're doing your part. You're out there trying to formulate something for the Maryland, a statement for the Maryland bow hunters to basically mount a public education campaign and try and combat these animal activist organizations that don't want us to hunt. They don't want us to fish. They don't want us to eat. They're vegans. They prey on people's emotions, and now it's, oh, pity these poor rays because they're giving birth on the boat, and the bow hunters are killing the, you know, it gives me, it makes me puke, quite frankly, guys. So,
and Alan, as you well know, these animal rights actions are always based on emotion. You know, they're trying to evoke the emotions in everybody that's listening, trying to get people to win to their side.
Of course.
Without taking the time to really educate them on the facts.
That's correct. That is correct.
Really, the news media the other day in releasing this and putting this video on some of the local news channels without any kind of
counter,
hearing the other side of the story.
Right.
Completely an irresponsible move on their part. But again, it's so typical of what we see so many times in the, to coin a phrase from a popular conservative talk show radio host, the lamestream media.
Lamestream, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's so typical of what goes on these days, and we're left to fight it now.
Lou, hang on a minute.
That's what we have to do.
Hang on a minute, Lou. I want to ask Tony. Tony, can you hang through the news into the next hour? We're coming back at like 6:06.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I wanted to go over some of the watermen that we talk to, what they say a lot of times as well.
Got it. Lou, can you hold?
Yeah, I'm here for.
All right, you guys, hang on there. We got to go to the news. We're getting out ready to sign off for the hour, but we'll be right back in about 6 minutes, and we'll talk to Tony Lahotsky and Lou Compton, and I think we have another guest joining us at the 6 o'clock hour. All right, guys, hang on there. We'll put you on hold, and we're getting ready to roll out of here for the news, and we'll be back shortly with Lou Compton, president of the Maryland Bowhunter Society, and Tony Lahotsky of Silver Dog Outdoors. If you want to look during the break, SilverDogOutdoors.com and Maryland Bowhunter Society. You can Google that and find out who we're talking to. Now it's time to get out, stay out, stay safe.